The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Oh, glory, glory.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory, glory.
Good morning. Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. I'm Levin Miller, and I'm unleashed on your radio these days. Can you believe it? You don't have to change your radio dial. This is not a drill. Levin Miller is now here every weekday morning at 11 to 12. I'm going to be taking you into the lunchtime break. And you know, those of you that kind of tip out of the office early, you know that I have to make a run to the bank before I go to lunch, people. You know that crew. Yeah, I'm here to take you all wherever you got to go in the daytime, in the morning time. And we'll figure it out together on the ride. I don't know if you're in the car, or if you're in the office, or wherever you are at this hour of the day. But wherever you are, there's no need to move the radio station anymore for the rest of the day. You can kind of just break the knob off. And if you're in the car, throw it out of the window. Because you're tuned into the best talk radio in town. Right? Now, I got a guest for you all today. But I've got some things that I kind of want to blow off my chest really quick. There is a business located on the Tony William Darlings Highway, that sees nothing wrong with flying the national flag at nighttime. It is against the law to do that. I get very, very, very strong desires to steal your flag every time I see it there, because I feel so insulted at the fact that you would fly that flag at night. I mean, and it is such an enormous flag. I would imagine that if one were to put the level of effort it took into purchasing a flag of that magnitude, that he or she or whomever it is, right? Because, you know, apparently the world is moving towards not being allowed to call people by their gender-specific pronouns anymore, or there, stuff like that. Whomever they are, is that better? That thought it necessary to purchase almost a 4-foot flag, but that doesn't think it is necessary to take that flag off of the flagpole with the setting of the sun. I think that you are embarrassing all of the sacrifices that men and women that have sweat and toiled in the trek towards nationhood have fought for. All right, there is a way. If you choose not to take your flag down, that flag ought to be flown at nighttime. It ought to be elevated, and lights ought to be mounted underneath it. And since you all are the kind of company that you are, I won't call your name, it should be quite easy for you all to mount some lights under this flag, because it annoys people like me. All right? And I'm telling you, you got to always factor in that I'm an inner city boy, and sometimes our behavior needs a little bit of adjusting. And every time I see that flag there, The little green man that sits on my shoulder tells me you should just go take the flag. Why? Because, I mean, they obviously have no regard for it. I think we ought to fix that. So if you know them, if they're friends of yours, if you're listening to me, make the adjustment. Because I find it offensive. And I imagine that there are people out here that find it offensive. And if that isn't motivation enough, it is against the law to do so. So adjust the behavior accordingly. The next thing I want to talk about is, I went somewhere today. I happen to be a businessman. That's what I do for a living. I make money. That's what I do for a living. It's my superpower, right? So I have some business ventures, some business interests. But get this, in large part, I collect, coin currency from? It's not really a large assortment of coins. It's like a standard set of coins, right? So I go today, I had a bill, it came up. This is not what I'm talking to you about today, but I'm just getting this stuff out of my chest really quick. So I go today to a place, and I get a bill, and the bill is $100, right? And I say to myself, well, you know, I kind of just came from packaging and wrapping my coins. I have them. They're with me. I do have paper money in my pocket. But, you know, I don't really feel like doing banking today. Maybe I'll just spend my coins, right? These, as far as I am aware, are legal tender. Now, this has been the second time this has happened to me. And I'll tell you why it is to my annoyance this time. Because I am willing to bet my wife in a swingers bar that the owner of this establishment does not know he is unaware. And if he is aware, then something must be wrong with his head. That he is about to, at 8 o'clock in the morning, allow $100 to walk out of the door because it's not paper currency. And I probably need to get in contact with the central bank governor. Because I don't know where someone with a legitimate business license to operate a business in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas gets the audacity from to reject legal tender. It's not like they're saying they're refusing me service because of a breached company protocol. They're saying that, yes, they have the product that I want. Yes, the product that I want is for sale. Yes, they have a business license to sell that product. But because I didn't bring the currency in quantities that they desire, they reserve the right to refuse my legal tender. That doesn't make sense to me on a business level, and it particularly doesn't make sense to me in the middle of a global pandemic where people cannot find work. And if the owner of a business has people in his point of sales section of his business that are comfortable with allowing $100 to walk out of the front door of his business at 8 a.m., then I want the government to kind of dial back all of the social assistance, because obviously y'all have more money than y'all know what to do with it. And I couldn't quite understand it. So these are the things that are annoying me this morning. You know, that's not what we're talking about, but you know, I want to talk about this right quick before we get to my guests and what my show is about. So I don't know what is it going to take for businesses in the Bahamas, and I know of two of them now. The one that I'm talking about this morning is on the Tony William Darling Highway as well, but the second one is on the corner of Wolf Road and Blue Hill Road, right? And they refuse, wrapped or otherwise, to take coin currency as if it is not legitimate money in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And with unemployment being what it is, with government social assistance having to be what it is, and all of everything that's going on around here, I can't understand why people do not want to take currency. So, to the people on Tony William Darling with the flag that y'all don't take down at nighttime, y'all are really testing my inner city, demons, and I get very, 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 very anxious about wanting to remove your flag. And mind you, I'm not going to take it for my own gain. I'm going to take it off the pole and take it to the police station, and then y'all can go get it from there. Right? But I want y'all to mount a light under this thing. Elevate it and mount a light underneath it, and then y'all can fly it at any time of the day y'all want. to the people that don't take currency, that is coin currency, and to the parts store that don't let people spend less than $25 on a Visa card as well, I go report you all the Visa. Because we got to stop doing silliness in this town now. You ask the government for their assistance, and then the owners of these establishments make up these kangaroo rules that they have no basis upon which to sustain them, and they do so to the frustration and the annoyance of customers. And so I'm going to get to the bottom of whether or not you could deny my spending of currency, especially when I didn't take the effort to have them wrap. But like, you know, I don't understand it. All right? And so as soon as I am certainly sure that you can't deny me with that, or you could take these, or it could be me and you, and in the words of my grandmother, trust me, it could be a whole lot more of me than you. All right? Anyway, so those things are off my chest this morning. That's not what I came here to talk to you about. I'm here this morning with the Director of Labor. You know him. He's a good friend of mine, John Binder. We're talking about employment in the Bahamas, where we are, where does he anticipate we will get, and whether or not he believes we will make the kind of comeback that I see people like the Minister of Tourism is suggesting, and people in the financial services sector are suggesting. But also, John, we're going to talk about the expectation that was set by the Prime Minister himself. If you recall, the Prime Minister in the Parliament of the Bahamas in October of last year said to the Bahamian people, and I quote, "Give me 3 weeks. Give me 3 weeks. All I'm asking you all to do is bear with me through these curfews for 3 weeks. 3 weeks of sacrifice will ease a lifetime of pain and suffering." Well, some would argue that unless he's counting his calendar by some sort of calendar that none of us have, his 3 weeks has long been exhausted. Yet, about 5 months later, we find ourselves still with a 10 o'clock curfew that people can't justify. We find ourselves only just last week coming off of the Sunday total lockdowns. And I don't know whether we are now at a place where our employment woes have more now to do with our policy positions than the actual offspin of the pandemic. Anyway, John Binder is my guest this morning. John Binder, good morning.
Good morning, Brother Miller, and good morning, Bahamas.
Well, I have to congratulate you for having the first seat on the new, I like Zion Baptist Church, you know, so yeah. I like Zion Baptist, then the new Zion new. Baptist. This the new Leaven Militia, yes, right? Sir. Yeah, so now I'm here as Unleash 11 a.m. on Guardian Radio. So let me say thank you to you for being here.
Yeah, man, it's a pleasure to be here. You know, you're my friend. I can't let you down. You invite me, I got to come.
And I like your shirt, too.
Oh, thanks, man.
You're very spiffily dressed. So, John, here we are. Unemployment is doing what it is right now, right? I hear the optimism in the voices of people like yourself and the Minister of Labor, but I don't know if when I move around, that is what I see. What is it that keeps the Department of Labor so optimistic about employment and where we will land?
Okay, so for the most part, we know that only because of the tourism product being in disarray and the beatness taking right now that's really causing our country's economy to be in shambles. We recognize that as soon as tourists could start booking hotel rooms again, the cruise lines start coming into port again, that this thing can turn around. Our problem is that can't happen unless the United States does some stuff, and by extension, the rest of the world, if you depend on Europe and Canada, that will send tourists this way. Until they fix some protocols, relax some policies, and make it easier, less stressful for people to leave their countries and come and visit the Bahamas and return without any stress, we can have some issues. And so even when the Prime Minister had indicated that he expected in the very beginning, in the 3 or so weeks, with a lockdown and trying to control, which a lot of people kind of condemn them for, to realize that that was the right thing to do, because I think it's safe to say that we set the protocols that the rest of the world is now following, or most of the rest of the world is following. So when they're bragging about, oh, why did he lock down the Bahamas? Barbados ain't locked down. You see, Barbados not locked down.
Yeah, they
you see other countries.
They
yeah,
go
so
into a 2 week lockdown.
The thing I always admire about the Prime Minister, he's functioning like a doctor. They look at a situation, they diagnose it, and they treat it. Not that they have the cure for it. But I think too much Bahamians expect for the Prime Minister of the Bahamas to have the cure for everything. He can only treat a problem. I don't know if he has the cure for these things, because it's a world issue, and it's a world problem. And so, for the most part, I am optimistic because I believe that Bahamians understand that this is a world crisis we're in, and for the most part, you know, one individual or no one country have an answer for this. So while I am satisfied, I see some things happening as relates to vaccination in the United States and around the world. And certainly I was pleased to see something on social media from I think that was the president or the prime minister of India. Mm-hmm. She's giving her points on it, how the world had condemned her country, and try to cast explosions on them, that they are doing pretty good now. They're actually giving vaccination free to some other parts of the world. And I'm hoping that at some point the Bahamas may be able to benefit from that, because the one that she speaks about that her country is issuing, it appears to be one that most people aren't afraid of. I mean, it don't come across as being so frightening.
Is this the one from Johnson & Johnson, the single dose?
I think the single dose one that the Indian Prime Minister spoke about. So Bahamas going to have to bear with this a little longer. Again, I keep trying to encourage them to pool resources who can and look at other ways and means to diversify our economy. Mm-hmm. This is the beginning of a new diversification of our economy. We can no longer depend on the rest of the world to bring revenue to our country alone. We have to do some stuff on our own that if we ever face with this type of situation again, be able to sustain ourselves for even if it's just a short period of time.
But John, okay, so here's the thing, right? The Bahamas has, in my opinion, an unfair, or has had something that's been an unfair disadvantage for its entire existence. That thing now, in my mind, should be seen as an unfair advantage compared to our Caribbean counterparts. The Bahamas is an archipelago. It's a multiple destination.
Yes.
We've not figured out a way to open our domestic economy in a way that gets, because there are rich people here, uh-huh, that gets rich people spending money in the economy in a way that can trickle down. We have now had the curfew in place for 8 months now. And I speak to business owners all the time, and you and I meet at some business places, and the general consensus is I cannot bring on more staff, or yes, I have had to reduce my staff count by half because the way the curfew is set up, I cannot put two shifts in here. At least if the curfew was 2 or 12 o'clock, right, I could have a 6 to 2 and a 2 to 10 or a 7 to 3, sorry, and a 3 to 11. But the way the system is set up now, the 10 o'clock curfew, and it's only 2 hours, sure, but that 2 hours would make room in there for me to be able to put people on full 8-hour shifts.
Right.
And as such, I'd be able to spend more money in advertising, even with my advertisers. The other thing is, listen, because of the way I am hiring staff right now, I'm not doing as much advertising because the people aren't moving in mass because they don't want to get home at 10 o'clock, which means, you know what I mean? It's right now, the economy of the Bahamas is all word of mouth at this point. Mm-hmm. And those are a direct result of policy. Literally, if we slid the curfew back by 2 hours, we would begin to see an opening up of the economy. I see we've now started the Sunday opening up, which again expands working hours. So there are some things we could do inside the Bahamas to change the way the labor force looks in the Bahamas. And I don't know if we're doing enough of that, John.
But I'm very confident that the Prime Minister listens to good advice. I'm sure persons who give him advice will listen to these talk shows to get the pulse of the Bahamian people. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of confident enough to know that eventually that would happen. But I still think he's concerned about ensuring that we keep these numbers down and we don't want to move your protective gears, take mm-hmm. them off, and then you end up in another crisis, because for the most part, everybody expects the third wave to happen. Mm-hmm. So we've been managing that pretty good. And I believe the government is of the view that because of we're still discouraging social gathering, especially mm-hmm. late at night, mm-hmm. that may have been the reason why we're able to, or that's one of the reasons why we've been able to control the numbers as relates to persons actually getting this COVID-19. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure that the government is very wise. The Prime Minister is a wise man. He knows full well that eventually we have to extend these hours, because in a way we'll come on vacation to a country and got to be home by 10 o'clock.
Tourists have said that.
Right. So I'm sure he's receiving certain advice on that, but he's trying to be as cautious as possible. I believe as soon as you see the United States kind of open up, then we will kind of, see if we can, in incremental stages, mm-hmm. open our economy too and open up these curfew hours.
How much longer do you imagine the hotel workers should ride with this? I mean, we say as soon as America opened up, but what we are seeing on the ground is a tightening of the bowels in America, in Canada. Justin Trudeau just signed an executive order. No flights from anywhere in the Caribbean.
Right?
Or to anywhere in the Caribbean. So we can sit here and hope that America or Canada will open its doors soon. But that's not what we're seeing in the news.
No, but simultaneously, both those countries you name, mm-hmm. or both those leaders you name, they are simultaneously, though, getting the vaccination in place that is supposed to cure this thing and make mm-hmm. it easier for you mm-hmm. to go wherever you want to go, mm-hmm. bring some level of normalcy back to how we used to live, especially as it relates to our social life.
But now, the point I'm making here, John, is the hotel workers are at a point of frustration, and I believe rightfully so.
Right.
You know, it's no secret. I've shared with you a long time ago, let's sever people and they will figure it out in the end, right? Mm-hmm. Now the people have gotten back to work, man. They throw confetti in the air for the people in Albany.
Yeah, but we're going to find, let's look at Atlanta. Where's Atlanta's going to find money to several 8,000 employees and probably a minimum of 20,000 a person, if you do an average?
Mm, well,
because some people didn't get no big money.
Well, first of all,
that's a lot of money.
Companies like that, no. as far as I am advised. Yeah. First of all, they run what you call overdraft company facilities.
Yes.
So if you have to take it out of there, you take it out of there. In some instances, they have indemnity insurances against loss. So if you have to engage that, then you... What I'm saying is, right now, I think we're losing touch of the human aspect
okay.
of where people are. A lot of people are now $12,000, $15,000, $20,000 in debt.
Yeah.
Not because they're unemployed, because they had jobs. And that actually worked to their detriment, because many of them couldn't look for jobs because they were still employed.
Okay,
someone was paying my insurance, someone was paying my NIB. Right. I can't go look for a job, okay. right? And now many of them have gone back to work. They've worked 2-3 weeks, mm-hmm. which now, in my estimation, disadvantages them, because now their 90-day cycle for furlough has started from the beginning again. And a lot of them are in a place where they feel like they were duped by the hotel, and they are in no better position than they were 6 months ago. But there are still people that are asking them, man, hold on, and don't want to be severed. Why not?
Okay, so a couple other reasons. Because I spoke to hotel operators myself to try to find out, you know, how best we can deal with this matter.
Mm-hmm.
I've advised them to send something out, inviting persons who wish to be served to write and say, well, I want my severance pay, if that's possible. And look at persons who may have reached retirement age now in the last year,
mm-hmm.
or nearing retirement age, or those persons who you figure you can replace easily and bring in younger persons to start training. I've made that recommendation to one or two of the major property holders,
mm-hmm.
owners, right? But their thing is this. They don't want to sever ties with their staffers. And this thing turn around now, opens back up, and now you have to bring in new people to train them or rehire these persons. If you rehire these persons, there's no guarantee you hire them in the same position that when you made them sovereign.
Mm-hmm.
You sever ties mm-hmm. with them, and you dismiss them.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll find themselves having to bring a whole new staff on who have to take the time to train again. They can learn the property, they can learn the product, and all the rest of that. So they rather take this chance of having them in an extended furlough position, which I can't lie to you, I was glad the prime minister do what he did. Because
mm-hmm.
once those persons become, if they get separation packages, they're now unemployed.
Right.
But as long as they're in furlough, they're still employed. They're still getting vacation. They still get the insurance. There's a lot of benefits they're still receiving as a result of not being terminated or separated.
My daddy had a saying when I was growing up, John. It used to go something like this. It's good brag about the growing grass, but what about the dying cow?
Yeah, right? I understand, yeah. You can't let a cow starve while the grass
grows.
But however, the situation we find ourselves in, let's say they let those people go from the hotel,
mm-hmm.
and someone's still young enough to find them, where are they going to work in the whole economy, Marshall? Where are you going? They didn't let you leave Atlanta if they go into Bahamas.
No, but...
Or leave Bahamas if they go into the point. Or leave the point if they go into the Venmo.
But, John, I would have my $20,000 in my pocket. I'm possibly $12,000 in debt.
Okay.
I can literally reset my life to zero uh-huh. before I get... Because I can tell you, the Canadian uh-huh. banks have begun calling again.
Right.
All right? But so I would at least be able to pay my debt, uh-huh. whether it is for the 7 or 8 months last year, plus the 4 or 5 months this year. Uh-huh. And I don't know if the people that are in positions of leadership understand what that does to the psyche of people.
Mm-hmm.
I may not have a dime in my pocket, but the things that I am accountable for, I can now facilitate those things because I have liquid cash.
Mm-hmm.
To the point about the hotel having to hire new people, here is what I've also found about hotel workers.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them in the early days of the pandemic that were called back to work,
mm-hmm.
were called back to work, and their employer anticipated that they could change the conditions of their employment.
They can't do that, though.
We know that.
They can't do that.
But that was not outside of the employer's reach or attempt. So they attempted it with some people.
Right.
And so I'm saying to you that in the instance that these people are furloughed, some of them are going to be expected to come back to work in a changed work environment in any event. Okay. It may be simpler to fire them and rehire them so that you could give them new contracts, because you're a union man. You know those people that are protected by union rights are going to say, oh, no, sir. Here is what my contract. My contract says I sweep two corridors a week. Right. This is the two corridor. And this new corridor you're all talking about, I don't care that it connects my two corridors. That's not my corridor. As such, it is outside of the scope of my contract. And the hotel is going to find themselves in problems with people like that. So even if it's only the ones that have union contracts in place now that they sever, it would still be better than dragging people through this entire furlough process.
Okay, I understand what you're saying, and it sounds good. But this is what I also concerned with. You give me $25,000, $30,000, even $40,000 to sever me from your employment. And now I pay my $12,000 bill, like you say, and I get a couple other dollars left. If I don't invest that properly, I will find myself on the unemployment line in a year or two, or back at social services, or back in the NAB looking for some unemployment assistance and the rest of it. I think we have to be proactive. I have been saying this to people with the little experience I have, that listen, form some partnerships so you can get these sovereigns paid and see how you can best get into a low-risk investment that you know, you can probably gain some profits from. But people don't do that because we have a problem in helping each other.
Right.
I'm hoping that if it ever reached a point where the hotels are being servitized, that we can get out there real quickly and start to advise people on how best to invest their money. Don't go pay off all your bills. Pay them up. Try to invest some money to say you get something back. But I know if we go.
Right.
We'll be debt free, and then we start traveling for a couple of months. And after that, the money gone. Yeah. Now you're back
on. Piling up again.
That's right.
I don't discredit that, John, but I'm saying at least in that instance that you talk about there, you give people what I like to refer to as the human dignity of making the adult decision.
Yes.
No one could make a better decision for John Pinder than John Pinder. And that's even in a drunken stupor. John Pinder still believes he makes the best decision for John Pinder.
True.
And I don't know if we're giving people that. We say that we're protecting them, right? But how do you say you're protecting me when the Canadian bank is... You don't protect me from the Canadian bank that's calling
me.
You don't protect me from the eviction notice that will show up to my house on a Friday afternoon when I believe, Lord, I can't take no more. The fella come knock, say, yeah, but I know you say you can't take no more, but take that one.
Yeah.
You're not protecting me from that. You're not protecting from the bank sending the record to rebless the car that I wasn't delinquent on before I lost my job. So you claim your emergency order is protecting me, right? You claim that what you're doing with the furlough thing is protecting me. I don't feel protected, though.
Okay. I got you. But now here's what's happening. When I was president of the National Congress of Trade Unions, remember CIBC was given the union that represents that people some problems. And I had to meet with one of their lead persons. And I had to threaten him that I would advise every civil servant and every behavior I could possibly influence to withdraw their account, close their account, and go elsewhere. Everybody's put all the pressure on the government. Why aren't people demonstrating in front of the banks, trying to force the banks to cap their mugs at this time and to stop the interest and late payment fees? Everybody expects the government to do everything. But you can cause the central bank to review this thing. You can cause the other bank. Look at if everybody threatens the banks, do some demonstration on them for change. So listen, man. You all got to cap this. You know we ain't got no money. You know your money ain't coming. What you calling me for? You know I wicked. I got no thing. So the first thing I think you ought to do as an individual, inform the bank, listen, I'm out of a job. This is the situation. Try to negotiate them capping, especially the interest and late charges on these particular mortgages. Just cap this right now. And then I don't want to pay a double mortgage. Whenever I catch up, I promise, I'll come back and we remortgage this thing or renegotiate the mortgage on these things and we start paying again.
John, here's
go petition the banks with
this. And I don't disagree with you because I feel the same thing, the same way about a credit card line. You remember they start the credit card line? I tell them, all us who got credit card, don't pay it till they put the credit card line back.
Right.
But the Negroes...
No. All we're about is attacking whichever government's in power. We don't attack
companies. I think the message here is double. Why I say that is this. The Prime Minister and his cabinet and members of his government and all other people associated are very happy to say, even you have said here, you know, we have set in place some policies that the world has marked it, the manner of the bearing and now following, right? Well, Canada, those have put that kind of pressure on the banks from day one. America is now putting that kind of pressure on the bank and even getting ready to print more money in their effort to provide more social assistance. The point I'm making is, The Prime Minister, with the supermajority he has in the Parliament, can almost do anything in this country right now, right? He walks into the parliament and says they're going to have a debate on the extension of the emergency or order when the prime minister knows he walks in that parliament and he has what they would refer to as fait accompli. Yeah. No matter what happened in here today, yeah. this order is extended. Mm-hmm. The only way this order wouldn't extend is if the speaker have a stroke or something and we have to cancel today and we'll come right back tomorrow.
We've got a protocol. Because right now they're saying he didn't do the 6 weeks financial thing. So you see, he's trying his best to comply with his deal. But the opposition job is to try to put on every little fault he makes.
And I don't disagree with them for doing it. That's their job. The mm-hmm. point I'm making to you is, you know, it is disheartening when you hear people like Ricky Markey shout from their seat that the people are being put out of their homes and that sort of stuff now mm-hmm. because they wasn't in good standing.
Yeah, but I also made a recommendation, and I would make this recommendation publicly. And who get mad as their business. I don't know if the Prime Minister will hear this and take some deal. I would like for all these persons who are behind in their rent, who mm-hmm. legitimately could not pay, mm-hmm. to let's get a register of all these people. And their landlords. Let's check their landlords, see if their real property tax is up to date. Mm-hmm. Their real property tax is up to date. Let's force these landlords to write off that amount of real property tax against the rent owed, mm-hmm. and let's start this thing all over again. Mm-hmm. That's what we need to do. Because I bet you a lot of them will make it and put people up. I bet you their real property tax is up to date. Yes. So let's check them, see if their real property tax is up to date. If their real property tax is up to date, then fine. We have to do as best we can to give these people some rental assistance to help, uh-huh. to help them. Uh-huh. But I can also say the government could also be proactive. You know what? We will exempt you from real property tax for the next 2 or 3 years if you allow these people to remain, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So that's where I think we could come in and mm-hmm. make some more recommendations, do some more stuff. Mm-hmm. But let's start from there. Let's see who real property tax is paid up to date. Mm-hmm. And let's say, okay, fine. You owe us $100,000, but let's say $10,000 real property tax. These people owe you $20 with a rent. We can write off a portion out of it, if not all. Because mm-hmm. once you legitimately know these people, like the husband and wife both work for the hotel. The hotels are closed. They ain't making no money. You know they ain't making no money. Ain't like they making money like the civil servants. If you making money, and you have to. I always tell my members, when I was president, you know, they come to borrow money for foolishness. Mm-hmm. I said, listen to me. The most important thing is when they come borrow money, especially for rent, you got to have a home to go to. Don't get the light off, the water off, no food in there, but you won't be able to go home. Mm-hmm. So you must pay your rent. You must pay your mortgage. Day 2 days, you must pay once you have the ability to do so. Mm-hmm. Buy them new shoe later. Buy them other things later. But you got to have some place to go home and go home. If you got to go to the pump and get some water, people might laugh at you, but you still get home. Mm-hmm. It's always telling you, you want to have a home. Get out that roof over your head. Shelter is the most important thing to you. So these are some things that we probably can look at. And these landlords who know they're behind in their real property tax and putting all the hell on the tenants, they need to reconsider and be.
But what about the
show a little more, be a little more humane towards the people.
What about the landlord, John? What about the landlord? Because again, even that, I can tell you.
You want to get a mortgage? You want
to? No, I talk to landlords who say to me, listen, I wasn't putting no pressure on my tenants for 7 months. I never asked these people for a dollar in 7 months. Mm-hmm. The truth of the matter is now, my bills are piling up now. And now this is my source of income. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you.
This is my. God knows, I said to myself, I would ride it out with my tenants.
Right.
I even pass by the house, nothing. I still send the landscaping man the landscape. Uh-huh. I send the painter the paint. I stop doing nothing the landlord's supposed to do.
Right.
You understand?
I hear you.
Now my bills, now the money I spend making sure the apartment paint, uh-huh. making sure the yard cut, making uh-huh. sure the electrician come and fix the light over the door, uh-huh. I could have saved that money for myself, but I didn't because I wanted to be a good landlord. Uh-huh. Okay, now I've exhausted that money in my attempt to be a good landlord to you. Mm. Are you saying now that it is still the landlord's responsibility to continue to absorb this loss?
No, I'm not saying that. That's why I say you have to do on a case-by-case basis. Mm-hmm. There are some people who really, really can't do nothing. Mm-hmm. There are some landlords who really, really need their rent, because some landlords owe mortgage, like you say, all right. That other thing. So we have to bridge that gap mm-hmm. between the landlord owing the mortgage or the landlord have to pay their bills and all mm-hmm. the rest of that. There's some people who invest in apartments, mm-hmm. so that when they retire, they can live comfortably. I understand all that. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, where is all possible that a tenant cannot pay that rent and is really, really trying to make an effort to, that I believe we need to give those kind of things some different consideration from those who are working, mm-hmm. but using excuse now because of the pandemic, or making a few dollars and not trying to pay the rent. Mm-hmm. I heard a story of a guy who said he had a tenant who wasn't working. He decided he'd paint up the man apartment, keep the yard clean, all that. The guy had some compassion on him mm-hmm. and could not put him out because mm-hmm. he showed some initiative. Mm-hmm. Landlord, I know you. But Ryan, you hire somebody to clean the yard, let me clean the yard.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan, you hire somebody to paint, let me paint.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan, you hire somebody to let me do the maintenance. Let me help out the best I can.
Mm-hmm.
Show some initiative towards the landlord. But don't necessarily then think the government's supposed to pay your rent.
Right.
That's the point I'm trying to make.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the pandemic, and the government had to make some policies and through the emergency order, it caused a lot of businesses shutting down the rest of it to save the country, then we have to give those places some special considerations.
The Prime Minister asked for 3 weeks in October. How many more weeks do you think the Prime Minister is going to need?
But boy, I was optimistic when he asked for that. I made several blunders myself trying to even talk about the grammar, how many economy or rest. They've had big. See, the thing about it is I like to see a glass half full, not half empty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you see the glass half full, there's a possibility it can fill up. But if you see it getting empty, you're just waiting for it to hit bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe it's safe to say that I'm sure, you know, Prime Minister, 1 year out of an election, cannot do his best to try to get himself reelected. Because mm-hmm. nobody wants to I think every Prime Minister wants to get a full pension, and you need 2 times to do that.
Right.
Not that he needs it, or not that his focus.
Self-actualization.
Right. I think his focus is more on keeping the country safe so that tourists can come and visit. That's more important than anything else. People don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of policies that the Prime Minister put in place through the emergency order was just to keep us disciplined enough to not spread this thing. I'm sure he hate to have to stop people, violate people's right to move and express and all the rest of that.
Well, the Minister of National Security is now confessing, and you know, and I tried to help him, but he's now confessing that, you know, the curfew is helping them with crime, and now now plays right into the narrative
I don't
commit crime, John, so no, you don't need to have me lock inside.
No, but you don't commit crime and be at the wrong place at the wrong time.
I want you to block Pookie. Let me tell you the lock. Pookie, Spider, Shooter, and TT, go to their corner, lock them inside.
Uh-huh.
That don't have nothing to do with me.
Listen though.
And blacks. Lock them inside.
Yeah, okay. But a lot of times, the innocent have to suffer for the guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the rules and regulations in a country is geared towards those lawbreakers or people who live in a humane manner.
Mm-hmm.
The law is in there for the people who write it. Like Jesus said, I didn't come for the righteous.
Yeah.
I came for sinners that they may repent.
Yeah.
So most of the time, laws are set it ain't for the good people and for the bad people. But because you happen to live in a society where you have good and bad people, there's a mixture of people, you just have to suffer the consequences and hope that at the end of the day, you know, you're safe. Because I agree. I honestly believe that the curfew has created a lot of the crime.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys who hell-bent on, you know, killing
the boy get killed 7:30 in the morning, right. Morning. I don't even know what time you leave home to murder someone 7:30.
Right. But what happened is, you know, the fella probably locked himself up from before 10 at night.
Mm-hmm.
But after 5 in the morning, he come out. So they watch him and say, you know what, he come out after 5.
Yeah, but if tell 5, what time you leave home to commit murder at 7?
You've been in your wing while it's in the dark. You have to hide in the dark. That's the reason why the curfew helped a lot.
Yeah,
you have to hide in the dark.
Right.
And then when the guy come out in the light,
right.
Then you do what you got to do and you're gone.
John Bend is my guest here this morning. Leaving Miller and Leash on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We're talking about labor. We're talking about the rebound of the economy. I believe it's time to let the people go off of furlough, right? I don't know. John Bend is not bought into that position yet, but that's where I is on it. John, I want my friends them to get their money so they could, you know, start living their lives. So anyway, though, I'm going to the break. When we get back, I got more John Bender. We'll open the phone lines. 323-6232-325. 4316-325-4259 after the break.
Glory, oh, glory.
Guardian Media wants you to get active in 2021 and become eligible to win a 2-night stay at the luxurious Comfort Suites, plus a round-trip ticket on Bahamas Air, gift certificates from Rose Essentials, Bahari, Sia Monet Organic Candles, Soaps, and Scents, lunch for two at Tiki Bikini Hut, and cases of water from Bahama Blue. Get up, get out, and get active. Walk, jog, run, cycle, or swim on dates and times of your choosing safely anywhere in the Bahamas. Take a photo or video of you being active and log on to GuardianTalkRadio.com contest page. Click on the Guardian Media Get Active in 2021 contest link and upload your photos and videos. Invite your friends and family to vote on your entry for your chance to win fantastic prizes. Your body and mind will thank you for being active. Guardian Media is working to help make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Promotion ends February 26th. Winners will be announced March 5th.
When you get your child immunized, you are protecting him or her from diseases and also creating a safer community. It took many years for the Bahamas to get rid of infections such as polio, mumps, and measles. Keeping up with your child's immunization schedule so that they are fully protected can keep these diseases from coming back. The COVID-19 pandemic should not stop your child from getting immunized. Even if your child missed an appointment, they should continue with follow-up visits to catch up with their immunizations. Contact your nearest clinic or healthcare provider for more information or to make an appointment. Remember, immunizations are free at all government healthcare facilities. Prevent disease. Immunize, please.
This message has been brought to you by the Ministry of Health.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Island.
It's Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure.
Welcome back to Unleash Radio on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Thank you for staying with me. I'm Levin Miller. John Benton is my guest. I got a couple of text messages here that says, I don't know if you know where Fort Charlotte is, but that government property, the flag there never comes down. Thank you for the observation. If you're flying flags around this country, I'm talking about the aquamarine, gold, and black. I don't really care what you do with other people's flag. Take my flag down, all right? Unless it's like one of them fast food flags or something. You can leave that up in the nighttime. But please take the national flag down at night. My business does not take cryptocurrency. If you would like to pay the fees monthly for me, I would accept it. Over $400 a month to accept those things. Well, I think that the Central Bank of the Bahamas has got to put more pressure on y'all. Levin, I thought businesses always needed change. I thought so as well. Roll coins are sometimes filled with washers and top to bottom being only coins. Well, then this is a very simple thing to get around. Then don't require that I roll them. The simple, don't require that I roll them. I could bring them there and you could check all of them. That text right here says, great show. As usual, it's scientifically impossible to go to lunch break on your lunch break. Also, the flag you mentioned is a residence orange commercial building. Something like that. Yes, you are almost correct. Great show. As usual, I do architect work and have a rental car company. Bring your coins to my shop. I will accept them. Okay, great. Hi, Levin. Advise your guests that while Bahamian executives were furloughed at Atlantis, It is a known fact that 3 to 4 expats were hired during the COVID pandemic. How can this happen here in the Bahamas? Is it that they're paying off someone? John?
No, sir. I can't say they pay off nobody. And sometimes they have to still hire persons because they still have to keep certain equipment functioning at the hotel. Mm-hmm. And simultaneously, they still have to put certain things in place to...
So they bring in
the... I don't recall approving anything for Atlantis that outside of the heads of agreement. Mm-hmm. So they have some people that they would still bring in under the heads of agreement. They still have the right to do so.
Okay.
And I must say their numbers are down. Based on their heads of agreement, they bring 125 people. Mm-hmm. I think they're around the 70 mark or something like that.
Okay. Yeah. Good morning, Levin. Great points on concerning the flag protocol and customer service. You were spot on with both. Hope this show is a 2-hour show. Right, Dwight Strawn. I know you can fill the time effortlessly. Congratulations from another soldier from Angleston. Well, Angleston, massive in the building, strong. I like being from Angleston, you know, John.
Angleston, that was one of my stomping grounds. when I was in high school.
Okay. Good morning.
And no. Still now.
What is this? That's not for me. What does this say here? Diversity requires leadership. What's the plan if tourism does not return? John Bender?
Well, the thing about it, I even also been encouraging people to understand that the one thing God blesses with is plenty of waters. There are plenty of fish in it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's more demand for fish and organic fruits and vegetables mm-hmm. than there is in supply.
Mm-hmm.
We have a great opportunity because we have good fresh water in some islands, and some islands are synonymous with certain fruits and vegetables. I think we need to capitalize on those things. And of course, there will be an organic lifestyle in the Bahamas that people come here just for the organic food.
Mm-hmm.
We don't put no sort of preservative and no fish. When we pull the fish out of the water, sometimes the fish still jumping. The tourists can see the fish jumping.
Mm-hmm.
We could scale the fish and cook that for them. There's more supply, more demand for fish around the world and organic food than there is supply. So we may have to tap into more fishing.
Good morning, Mr. Miller. Please ask your guest, when is the Ministry of Labor going to deal with the recognition request for BTVI teachers to be unionized?
That has been dealt with. What held that up is we wanted to ensure that there was no other bargaining unit that those persons fell under. Because I remember when I was president of the union, I had a portion of them, and BUT had a portion of them.
Mm-hmm.
But that might have been dealt with. They should have already received an official correspondent. If they haven't, they can pick up the official correspondent. The official response for them is ready at the office.
Good morning. Could you please ask Mr. Vinda why there's still so many Filipinos working in homes where Bahamians could be employed?
Because Bahamians have the right to determine what they want. They don't want Bahamians in their homes.
Okay.
That's the bottom line.
Good morning, gentlemen. Perhaps we should restructure how Bahamians are severed. While working in Honduras, there was no such thing as a severance pay. Every year, at the end of the employee's anniversary, they were paid 2 weeks that they would be entitled to after retirement. We should adopt that model. The hotel industry is getting away with murder. Pay those people and restructure the system. That's what I say. Let's pay them and then let's revamp the system. It's not like we have a million people here. The hotel is going to have to go right back and hire the same people.
I wish I could support 100%. Well, I look at that as a good possibility
mm-hmm.
for the employees. But I still have to say, knowing the culture of Bahamians,
mm-hmm.
I feel as though that a number of them may end up being a burden to our social services department and indeed NIB, and by extension they can add to the unemployment list, I can guarantee you.
But I mean, wouldn't that be the same amount of time that you say the hotel needed to get their stuff together? Why make me wait or wonder or worry or stressed out while the hotel is getting its stuff together? By the time as I enter to the unemployment line, the hotel should be recruiting again.
But that doesn't necessarily mean the hotel will recruit you. Remember now, an experienced person may have already reached a salary, let's say reached a salary of $50 mm-hmm. per annum.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a, you force me to suffer with you. I let you go. I pay you off. When I hire you back, I'm going to hire you back in that position.
All right.
Or
sometime, but now me and six of my friends may start a conglomerate. We may be able to contract
that's
for the hotel.
That's good. I like to see that kind of thing happening. I encourage that type of thing. So you're quite right. And another thing I've been encouraging the Bahamians to do, while we are off, I tell them I've been in every Caribbean country except Haiti and Dominican.
Mm-hmm.
And most of those countries go into whatever food is in season after the hotel office for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you see that in the room as a little complimentary mm-hmm. thing. I think it's a good opportunity for us to start looking at things like that, mm-hmm. that we can provide whatever goods that the hotel may need. Mm-hmm. Just try to make these things more Bahamian than anything else. Just see if we get into, the hotel has to have certain linens.
Mm-hmm.
How many companies in the province make linen?
I don't know.
I'm saying now, isn't it?
All right.
So we could look at these sort of things. Make it, when you go to the Bahamas, and the hotel, you know you're in the Bahamas.
Yeah. John, so they don't say I'm protecting you. Let me open the phone lines. Let's take a call. Good morning, Carly. You're on.
Mr. Miller.
Hey.
Good morning, cousin. I don't have to call my name, but, cousin.
You say he's your cousin? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with you with the consensus with the coins, right? But what I wanted to touch on was the curfew, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a leaked email from a member of parliament from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it has been saying something that I've been saying all along. And in the email, it actually, the person is saying they don't want their children to grow up in this dystopian paradigm that they're about to create. And so it's online. The person actually, we will have a third wave. They have this, was written from last year, and it actually said when the Canadian government will have a lockdown, it talks about supply chains being interrupted, basic universal income, restricted travel, even within their provinces. They talk about when the cases would go up. They talk about the mutation. They have all of these things predicted in order to create this dystopian paradigm that most people don't see. Mm-hmm. And then it also, the lady also said, those who voted against it, the PM told them they don't care because they included in this what they call the great debt reset. Mm-hmm. And so those who don't, they're offering to get rid of all your debts once you take the vaccine and adhere to their protocols. Mm-hmm. And it speaks about monetary concessions for countries who follow these paradigms. All right. Now, what I'm saying is, I'm wondering if the school system is responsible for us being senseless, because the PM is obviously a puppet and being puppeteered by a great puppet master. Let me tell you something. The curfew is not even necessary. I agree with you and Warren, whoever was saying it. Listen to me. The curfew is not necessary. This is what is driving the country economy down. You don't have to have the curfew. You could just have certain protocols in place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't care if they keep the state of emergency, because they know emergency. All right? Because you're limiting business activity and obviously VAT collection.
Mm-hmm.
There's no need for the curfew. It has nothing to do with science. It has nothing to do with science. The curfew has nothing to do. They could just lift the curfew and still have the protocols.
I agree with you, 52.
All of these different... I just don't get this paradigm that they're creating. We're really responsible for this ourselves. They know that they're being given monetary consensus,
mm-hmm.
even as far as the vaccine. Robert called the other day and talked about debates.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have no debate because we don't want to educate the people. I mean, in Canada, there's a company named Better Cargo,
mm-hmm.
right? They are incubating they're getting a plant to incubate the virus and mimic the COVID-19 spike protein. So the reason why you have so much contamination and so much adverse effects of these vaccinations is because of the adjuvants, and they're using live animals to incubate the vaccine, which in itself is haphazard. And they know this. There's so much information on this vaccine right now and RNA interference technology. Until I lost, I have to keep reading every day. So I know there's no way these people could know all this information. This is the paradigm that they're creating to confuse us. Hey, listen, prepare for the worst. You know, don't mind these people. You know, the World Economic Forum leader made a statement the other day, said prepare for an angrier world. Hey, God help us. You only really want to hear what I have to say on the radio because nobody's listening to the truth.
3236232. Them fellas, they loaded. 3254316 3254249. I do agree with one thing, though, John. I think it would take a whole lot less manpower hours in law enforcement to simply start roving patrols that went around and enforced protocols in buildings and places than it is to have that manpower standing in static sentry duties every night. Whole lot less manpower hours.
I think so. But first of all, the COVID police, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
it's a very small unit.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is not their approach. Again, I think their approach is to deter persons mm-hmm. from coming late, because you know you got to go to a road check.
Right.
And so that would kind of mm-hmm. discourage you from staying out late. I think that was the strategy mm-hmm. being used.
Let's take some more of these calls. Good morning, Carly. You're on. Carly, there. I can hear you. Let's go.
Hey, good morning, Ivan. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Let's keep it tight for me, Antoine.
Yeah, no problem, man. Good morning to John Pender.
Good morning, sir.
John, I think it's a national disgrace. The agreement that the government entered into that disenfranchises hotel employees. You were listing off some statistics earlier, right? And you didn't give the full consideration, because first and foremost, most of the hotel workers do not qualify to receive the hotel insurance. Those are only pretty much for management level or office staff. Most of the hotel staff are comprised of persons who work in the gratuity section. So the biggest chunk of people who are being employed by the hotel are not receiving any benefits outside of their entitled vacation, right? Secondly, when you spoke about if the government had allowed for the negotiation to not happen and the staff would have been entitled to their benefits after they would have been furloughed for an extended period of time, then their staff would have been able to receive their funds, and as they would have been paying into the national insurance fund, they would have received that benefit, and as they are taxpayers in this country who help to make up the national budget of this country, they would have been entitled to receive whatever opportunities that the government deemed that they were worthy of and not being looked at as tax burdens in our country. We are citizens of this country, and whatever this country has to offer, behemoths at a time when behemoths are suffering, the government and the policymakers has a responsibility to ensure that it is delivered and not be seen or not be spoken of as burdens, as burdens. That is absolute garbage, John Pender. And it's disrespectful to the workers of this country.
Thank you, Antoine.
But that's your opinion. You get some as Morgan and you get some as answers very. Why don't you go leave in group and deal with the mortgage and the rental thing? Go deal with that. You only can find only thing Antoine does is call these talk show. I don't know. The PFP must be pay you good, boy. But you don't want face off with me because you know I know from whence you came. So you don't want face off with me. So be careful.
Let's take this last call. I got time for one more call, caller. You got 30 seconds. You're on. Not there. 30 seconds, caller. Let's go ahead. Hello? Not there. John Bender. So, you anticipate another year, maybe?
Boy, I hope, Antoine, Antoine. but Antoine, I admire him calling the talk show, and he's got some facts, because obviously somebody's given him some good points. I can't say you don't have good points. But I wish they would take some energy and just don't just keep attacking the government system. Attack some of the private sector that is also could make some decisions to help Bahamians in this crisis. But none of them say, no, God help us. I'm praying that within the next 6 months, we see some better results.
All right, well, we out of time. Thank you so much for joining me. It's Levin Miller. I've been unleashed on your radio all morning. This is Guardian Radio 96.9, your station for freshness and smart talk. Don't move. We've got news next.